it seems like it's the time of year for lots of promises. And I thought, what better time to preach on the promises than the Christmas season, right? And I just felt that, and I started researching, what does it say about this promises thing? And, you know, what is all this about? And God's promises are all through the Bible. And yeah, I know as a kid, I always promise. I still promise things today. How many promise things today? We all do. How many deliver on the promise? We promise to pledge for chairs. We promise to pledge for missions. And I believe that we'll adhere to those promises. And I remember those promises as I grew up. I remember opening those gifts on a Sunday morning. I'd say to my mom, "You promised you would get me this." And she would say, "I didn't promise. I didn't make a promise." So my mom was faithful on her promises. But this whole thing of promises, you know, I thought, God, what does that look like on a Christmas time? So for the next few weeks, I'm going to talk about the promises of Christmas. And today, we're going to talk about the promise of happiness. And I go to the Webster's Dictionary, and now it's online, and I get to go there and say, what does the dictionary say about the promises? And what's specifically, how do I look up happiness? And here's what it says in the Webster's on happiness. It says favored, fortunate, lucky, delighted, pleased, glad, characterized by pleasure are things that make you happy. I thought that was really intriguing. So I decided to go looking for some studies. What the world says is happiness. And I found this big study that the world did, researchers did, on how you become happy. I was really intrigued with that. So I started diving into this and getting more information as I prepared for my message today. And I was just shocked. And I'm going to give you some information about this study this morning, because this has kind of rocked my world a little bit, and it's going to change your perception of all this here very shortly. But research says, what is happiness, and how do you get there? And it's been amazing that the number one thing that people look for during the Christmas season is health and happiness. How many of you say that all the time? What do you want for Christmas? I just want to be healthy and happy. And this study says the number one thing that people want in life, number one, happiness. I want to be happy. The world researches this and says the number one thing that people in general want in their lives is to be happy. I'm so intrigued with that. Number one. And then I remember all this stuff that people would say throughout my life and yours. And what do you do to get happy? What does it take? And then I remember all these phrases. Money doesn't buy happiness. How many have heard that one? And right in this study, the number one thing they talked about is money does not equal happiness. Does not equal happiness. Now, if you're extremely poor today, or you know someone that's extremely poor, the study says that it does affect their happiness. Why? Because they don't have basic food, shelter, and clothing. Therefore, money affects their happiness because they get the basic necessities. But after they get their basic necessities, more money makes them more unhappy. That is amazing. The more money you would get makes you the more unhappy. Go figure, right? Because that's kind of like contrary to what everything we've been told as just people on planet Earth. Money. And this study says, no, it's not money. It makes you more unhappy. That second thing they looked at was youth. Youth makes you happy. Does it? And the study says, no, youth does not equal happiness. You know, all the older people say, hallelujah, right? Like me. In fact, the study says the 20 to 30-year-old group is the most unhappy. of all age brackets. My daughter talks about the generations, and I don't know them in my head. She's got to memorize the X's and the Y's and da-da-da-da-da, and she knows them, but it doesn't matter. The 20 to 30 generation is the most unhappy. So youth does not equate to happiness. Does anyone have any idea the happiest generation? The 55, you 55? Oh, okay. I thought I married, I don't know. It's kind of confusing me a little bit. She's like, yay, 55. Wait, that's not me. The 55 to 65-year-olds are the most happy. Now, if you're 55 to 65, which I am not, but I'm almost. The way my wife is cheering, she may be. But if you're in the 55 to 65-year-old age bracket, you're supposed to be, based on this research, the happiest. But youth does not equate to happiness. Well, that blows my mind because that's not what I heard. Here's another one. Weather does not equal happiness. I almost didn't put that one in here because I'm going to hear about this for the next week from my wife. Yes, I know. No, Lord, I'll put it in. Weather does not equate to happiness. It doesn't matter if you live in the cold, Lord, let's pray, or you live in the warm, or whatever, it is not a defining factor as to whether you are happy. Now, you could have a perspective of happiness if you live there because it makes you feel better, but it is not a defining happiness thing. So money doesn't equate to happiness. Youth doesn't equate to happiness. Weather doesn't equate to happiness. But what about education or intellect? Does education make you happier? No. Intellect, smarts, education doesn't make you happy. I'm like, what? I'm reading this whole study. I'm like, what is it that makes me happy then? Because the big ones aren't there. What is it? And I'm not the smartest guy in the room, that's for sure. I'd say I'm probably on the lower half. But I would think if I was smarter, I could be happier. No. What do you think the number one thing is by a study that says makes you happy? The number one thing. Giving. I'm going to tell you what the study says it is. Choice. Choices. Number one, your life choices makes you happiest. Okay, now this is really kind of confusing me a little bit. So choices make me happier. Well, what are the choices? And I get to the bottom of this study, church, and there they are. The world's study on happiness. Number one choice that you make in your life to make you happy is your religious faith is number one. Now, I'm reading this and I'm saying, Lord, I'm at my desk. I'm saying, Lord, there's no way that the world would point to the choices being the number one reason why we are happy and then identify the number one choice that you can make to be happy is religious faith. Well, what's that to me? Jesus Christ. Number one, to me, as Christians, as Pentecostal believers, my faith, the choice I make in my faith, defined by studies, says that's what makes me happy. What's number two? What's the second big choice that would make me happy? Second, my relationships. What is that to me and you? Church. Makes me happy. Church makes me happy. My family in God's house makes me happy. So my faith makes me happy, this study says, and then hanging around you fine people makes me happy. Oh, they already knew that. It took me reading this big, long, monster study all this time and all to get to the bottom of it. It says, my faith and my relationships at my church. Now, they didn't identify church. I'm saying that because that's what it is. Faith and relationships, social interaction, it says. Well, that's easy for me. That's easy for me. That's probably easy for most of you. So this kind of shook me up. The world identifies my happiness by my faith and my relationships. How do I get that study to everybody else to read? This is what the studies say. We've known this for thousands of years. If the world can get the word out, the church needs to get the word out to be happy. And you are. This has been so surreal for your pastor because I'm reading all this and putting together this message and, you know, you increase your missions giving 100%, which is double. Why? Because the world even says if you do, people will get the gospel and be happier. Yes. Even the world understands it. Here's a quote for you. The main reason most people are unhappy is because they are looking for something outside of themselves. See, that's what we do as people. We look for all the things, especially Christmas and the kids and all that. You know, we look at things and cars and homes and whatever. Outwardly things. As opposed to inwardly things. The only person that can bring you happiness is you. By your choices. So says the study. The promise of happiness points to Jesus and church. The promise by the world studies points to faith and relationships. Doesn't that intrigue some people here? Like it intrigues your pastor. So what does God then say about all this? I start diving in the light starts coming on more and more. The more I worked on this and studied, the more the light came on. I go, wow. The Bible says that the word happiness and blessing are interchangeable. The word identifies favor, blessed favor, interchangeable. In fact, the biblical translation of happiness is blessing in the word. So the world says you got to do this, and God already knew that, right? God already knows. So what does God say about some of their big points in the study? What does God say about money? Let's read some scripture to put this in perspective as to why this all points to your faith into the church. What does God say about money? 1 Timothy chapter 6, 9 through 10 says it like this. Those who want to get rich, fall in this temptation and this trap, into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the very faith to be happy and pierced themselves with many griefs. God identified these big points before the study even came out. He identified the very core of how we as human beings would act and react, and he addressed it in his word, and studies show up later down the road, but the word of God has already been established, right? Money is like salt water. The more you drink, the thirstier you become. In other words, the more money you get, the more money you want. It doesn't satisfy because it doesn't make you happy. The world study identifies it like that, and the Word of God already identified it for us. So what did God say about youth then? If this study says youth doesn't equate to happiness, what does God's Word say? The Bible says in 2 Timothy, so flee your youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love and peace, along with those who call on the Lord for a pure heart. It's no wonder the youth are the most unhappy generation because they have youthful passions. And the Bible says, just flee those. Leave them go. So I say, Lord, I see it. As we get older, we get wiser, and we understand things more than we did when we were kids. And we start getting away from that stuff that we thought we wanted when we were kids that we no longer see as a need, right? Tell me you're not different in your 50s or 60s or 70s than you were in your 20s and 30s. Things are different, right? I'm just a real, real young guy. Married to a really young lady. And I see that. What's the word say about weather? Does the word of God address weather as feeding my happiness? Listen, while the earth remains seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. See, God established it to be cold. Oh, Lord. God established it to be warm. Harvest and seed time, God put this all together, set it into motion, and guess what, church? It's going to continue and continue and continue until the Lord thy God says, okay. And then it's still going to continue in various forms. So we don't rely on that to make us happy because God says this is what's going to happen. What's God say about intellect? I want happiness. The world says I can't get it by being smarter or education. That's God. And here's what it says in God's word in Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us. Who's the us? Let us, Christ, make human beings in our images to be like you and I. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. God created us in his likeness. That means we must be pretty smart. Of course, not as smart as God, but he gave us dominion over the face of the planet, so we must be pretty smart, right? Gotta be. You're created in God's image. You got to be pretty smart. If God knows how to create, to be the creator, then he creates you and say we're like him, then we got to be pretty smart. But I know that doesn't make me super happy. And God says, nope, that's not going to make you super happy either. Even created in his likeness isn't going to make you. So what is it? Does God want you to be happy? Let's go into Matthew 5. Now, I'm not going to display this on the screen behind us because there's a lot to go over, but I think you'll know this as soon as we dive in. Matthew 5 is the Beatitudes. If you know anything about the Beatitudes, these are the blessings of Jesus. Now, Jesus goes up on a hill, and he sits down with a bunch of people. He starts to teach. Now, these were common people, just like you and me. Just like your common pastor standing up here teaching us common folk, just a bunch of normal, everyday people. We're not Bible scholars. We don't have all these credentials behind, you may, but I don't, behind our name. Pastor Dave does, but I don't. I just know what God's blessed me to know. So Jesus gets up on this hill, he starts teaching me something. He starts teaching me this thing called the Beatitudes, the Beatitude that I need to be. The blessings of heaven to me is what it is. Beatitude stands for two things in Latin. It stands for blessings and guess what? Happiness. That's what it stands for. So here's Jesus thousands of years ago, a couple thousand years ago, on a hill teaching something that I'm going to talk to you a few minutes about today. These are the blessings, and I'm going to read them to you. Happiness and blessing together means the same thing. Goes like this. One day as he saw the crowds gathered, Jesus went up to the mountainside, sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. He said, God blesses the poor, realizes their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Let me read you that a different way, because blessing and happy are interchangeable in God's word. God makes happy the poor and realizes their need for him. That's what it says. That's what it means. He says, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God makes happy those who mourn, because God will comfort you, is what that means. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the entire earth. God makes happy those that are humble, because they will inherit the entire earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied, Jesus says. God makes happy those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God makes happy those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. You see the pattern going on here. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. as we talk about faith on Wednesday night. Don't forget your Wednesday night faith study. Maybe you will remember this one. We asked some questions. God blesses or makes happy those whose hearts are pure. He went on and says, God blesses those who work for peace. Work for peace. For they will be called children of God. In other words, God makes happy those who work for peace. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right. Someone's got to say amen. Yes, amen, Lord. He says God blesses. He makes happy those that are persecuted. See, what you're reading here in the Beatitudes is God's divine favor. The interchangeableness between blessings and happiness, it's the same. God's divine favor shows up throughout the Word. It shows up in the Beatitudes, the blessings of the Father to you and I, and divine favor resonates. It's divine favor. Divine is the power of God. Divine favor. The favor part is the blessing or grace. Shows up. God's grace, free gift to be happy. That's what that means. Free gift. It's a free gift. And the world knew that when they do a study because they say, point your choice to your faith. My faith is a free gift of grace and the blessings from the Father. And the light bulb goes on. If I want to be happy, I'm getting it more and more and more. It's better to give than receive and all this stuff that we hear at Christmas. I'm just blessed and happier that I wrote a check to the church to believe to fill a chair. I am happier today, church, that I wrote another check and pledged missions to the church. I can honestly say my wife and I are happier as we sow into the kingdom and get closer to Jesus. I am happier. And the world knew that in their study. The Bible defines happiness as something more than what makes you feel good. It's more than what makes you feel good. Feeling good is something that happens temporarily. Jesus happens forever. There's the defining difference, church, right? Jesus is talking about how God sees us in the Beatitudes. How does God see me? Not about how I feel. God sees me as poor. He does this. God sees me as pure heart. He does this. He does all these blessings to make me happy. You want to be really happy? You need to realize your need for God. See, the world got it. How many times you hear a preacher say that? They point you to faith. Now, do we run with that to be even happier? I'm going to go into the message version of Matthew 5, the Beatitudes. You're blessed, happy, when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God in His rule. In other words, God's going to meet you there. See, when there's less of me and more of God, the happier I will be. When there's more of Pastor Brad and less of God, the more miserable I become. The world understands that. The church understands that. We establish it in His Word. We teach and preach on it. I just need more of Jesus to be happier. Now, like I said, Jesus is sitting there with common folks, and He says things like, listen, there is hope for you who are poor in spirit. There's hope, happiness, hope. You're going to be happy if there's hope. If there's no hope, you're not going to be happy. There is hope for you if you feel like you are barely hanging on. There's hope. Why? Because that's what Jesus meets you. There's hope for you if you feel like you're not worthy or you're not good enough. If you're sitting here today, church, and you say to yourself inward, I just don't feel like I'm worthy, I'm telling you there's hope for you. There's hope for you because Jesus said there is. There is hope for you because the kingdom of God is yours, the Bible says. I'm sorry, but sometimes I have a tough time fathering that, understanding that, that the kingdom of heaven is mine. Yes, divine favor. It's a free gift. It's called grace that I don't deserve. That makes me happy. Let me tell you something. I get something that I don't deserve. That makes me happy. Right? Makes you happy too. You didn't have to do anything to get it. It was just given to you. Now that is the happiness the Bible's talking about. If your happiness is only defined by what is outside of you coming towards you, you're never going to be happy. If you are relying on things to come into your life to make you happy, whatever those things are, people and things and homes and whatever, clothes, shoes, or whatever, there, shoes, there, you know, shoes. Ladies, shoes, for those that have a bunch of shoes, right? That's not going to make you happy. That makes you feel good for just a short period of time. That's an outward feeling. The Bible doesn't talk about the outward feelings being happiness. It talks about the inward. It talks about the inward. Jesus said that if you want to find happiness, you have to lose your life. How many have read that in the Bible, right? Happiness isn't found in seeking happiness. Here's where it really confuses us as people. We actually seek happiness. We look for happiness. What do you want for Christmas? I want to be healthy and happy. Well, how are you going to do that? Is what we need to ask people, right? We need to say, how are you going to do that? What's going to make you healthier and happier? I just want to be healthy and happy. I've already heard that probably 20 times. My response is going to be, has been, and will continue to be, how are you going to do that? And they don't know what to say. They don't know what to say. Because it's the standard cliche, right? Happiness is not found in seeking happiness. Happiness is found by internal contentment. Where you are with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. That is the definition of biblical happiness. And I've said this several times, but the world continues to point that way, and it's just the world tells me to seek my religious faith. The Bible tells me to seek Jesus. When are we going to get it? When are we going to finally understand? You know, this week, church, you need to talk to people when you're out and you're passing out your invite cards. You need to say, did you know there's a study out there that research proves that if you're looking for happiness, you need to seek religious faith? I'm not telling you that. You know, the non-believer will understand the study more than they'll believe the Bible. So start throwing, then they'll start going back and Googling and doing all their thing, looking for it. And they'll find things to say that. They'll find the study. Happiness is found in just seeking God. You know, Romans 12:2 says it like this. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. I wear that scripture on my wrist as I play baseball, and I allow the umpire to say behind me as I catch, what's that say? And that gives me the great opportunity to witness to him. Well, here's what this means. It's different than the outward. It's the inward. And I allow God to change the way I think. God doesn't think like me. God doesn't, you know, he wants to change me to think like him. Right? I'm going to ask our music team to come back to the platform as we wrap things up here. But church, you want to be happy today, especially during this season. I want to challenge you to continue to do exactly what you have started to do in this church. Invest more. And I'm not talking financially now, please. I'm just talking about invest more of you into the kingdom. More of you into the kingdom. More of Jesus. More of Jesus. More of your faith and more of your social interactions and building more relationships with the people of God. Just continue to move in that direction and your happiness will skyrocket. Your situations and your problems that plague you in life will still be there until God removes them. But you're certainly going to feel better about them. You're certainly going to feel happier where you're at. Pastor, my debt's going to be the same. My all this. Yeah, it will be until the choices change to maybe get rid of some of that stuff and however God moves on your heart to do it. But guess what? It's an inward thing, not an outward thing. Right? It is. But I'm going to give you an opportunity to be happy today. I'm going to give you an opportunity to be happy. If you define happiness as pleasure, then I don't think God is real concerned with your happiness. If that's your definition today, church, I'm only happy if I have this, that, or the other thing to give me this temporary pleasure, God is not concerned with that. Pastor, he's not concerned if I get a new car? No. He's not concerned if I get a new house? No. Does he want you to have things? Does he want you, as long as your heart is right and you're not living on that, to be happy? Right? I grew up really poor. Until my mom got sick, I was really happy. My mom got very ill and it made me unhappy as a kid. I didn't understand it back then. I was too young. But I was really happy because mom instilled in me Jesus. And I didn't know we were poor. I didn't know she went to Goodwill to get my clothes. I didn't know my shoes came from Salvation Army. I didn't know what I didn't know. Couldn't know. I didn't know her 10-hour work days didn't pay her much. All I knew was we were happy. And today, I know why we were happy. Because it wasn't about those things. We certainly didn't have those things. I had a promise about my life. And that promise was if I put Jesus Christ as the central point, focus of my life, this is what mom taught me, that I would always be happy. It doesn't say I would not be challenged or I have challenging situations, but I could still be happy in the midst of the trial and the tribulation. Mom taught me that. You know, God's greatest desire for us is to find our happiness in Him and not those worldly things. And mom told me, don't look at those worldly things. I'm going to tell you, I like those things just like you do. As long as your heart is right. As long as my heart's good. Big difference. I know very wealthy people that are just sold out for God. Just sold out for Jesus. It's not because of the stuff they have or the money they have. And now all that research says, you know, your youth, money, weather, and all that, it's not going to give you happiness. There's something so much deeper than that. So guess what? Your pastor, before we leave today, is going to give you the opportunity to be happy forever. I'm going to give you the promise today of Christmas for happiness. I'm going to give you happiness before you leave. You can't leave today and say, the pastor didn't give me something. I'm going to give you happiness. It is up to you to decide because the world said it's a choice and the Bible says it's a choice. The Bible defines it as free will. The world defines it as choice. Do you see the crossover? The Bible says this is your free will. God says, I give you free will. The world says it's a choice whether you want to have religious faith to be happy. The Bible says, I give you free will. You decide, Pastor. Thank you, Lord. But before you leave here today, I'm going to give you that opportunity. So I'm going to ask you to bow your hearts, bow your heads. And I'm just going to ask you a few questions. But there's going to be the one big question. I want to make sure you're happy. I'm a pastor. I want to make sure the people are happy. So all heads are bowed, all eyes are closed. So I'm going to count three. When I get to three, you want to be happy. I want you to raise your hand. One, the Bible says now is the day to be happy. The Bible calls that salvation. Accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior makes you happy. Two, the Bible says no one knows the hour or the time of Christ's return. I don't know, church, if we're going to be here next week. I certainly don't know if we're going to be here for Christmas Eve service. I certainly don't know if we're really going to be here to go into our new building. I just prepare because God says to prepare, but there is no guarantee. So if you want eternal happiness, when I say three, I want you to shoot your hand up. I'm not calling you down front today. I'm just going to pray over you. And there's nobody looking around. No one's going to be watching. So if you want eternal happiness and you want this Jesus I'm talking about, or you want to rededicate your life to the cause of Christ to be happy, I ask you three just to shoot your hands up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Somebody's got to give them praise today because I want to be happy. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for those that raised their hands and said, I want to be happy. And the only happiness the world says I can find is in my religious faith. And your word says my religious faith is salvation in Jesus Christ. There I am happy. Lord God, I thank you for those that raised their hands today, accepting Christ as Savior and rededicating their lives. Lord, thank you, Father. When they depart your house today, I pray, Lord God, you just give them an outpouring of happiness. Father God, thank you that we have the privilege of being happy in Christ Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Stand with me, church, as we close. We're going to ask our worship team to do what they have done for weeks and weeks to send us off to happiness, right? God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you Wednesday night and next Sunday.